From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. A new audio message claiming to be from Osama bin Laden says his terrorist group is responsible for the Christmas Day attack on a Northwest plane headed to Detroit from the Netherlands. In the message, the al-Qaeda leader promises more attacks. The message was broadcast today on the Al Jazeera News Channel. The voice, purportedly belonging to bin Laden, declares there will be no peace for America unless there is security for Palestinians. Earthquake relief supplies continue to roll into Haiti, even though tens of thousands of Haitians say they've yet to receive any food, water, or medicine from international relief organizations in Port-au-Prince. NPR's Russell Lewis reports government officials say they've noticed an increase in trucks heading to the disaster zone from the border with the Dominican Republic.
The Jiminy border crossing is the closest Dominican access point to Port-au-Prince. On a typical day, just a handful of vehicles would pass through. But now, aid trucks, both big and small, are rumbling across the bumpy dirt road that leads into Haiti. Leon Estefason Nosapina works for the city of Jiminy. He says the Dominican border guards are so overwhelmed by the number of vehicles going down into Haiti, they don't have time to count them. For now, the guards are allowing all vehicles and people to cross the border unimpeded and without documentation. Russell Lewis, NPR News, Jiminy, Dominican Republic.
A draft communique to be unveiled at an international conference on Afghanistan reportedly outlines when and how Afghan forces will begin taking over security responsibilities. Reuters says it has seen a copy of the draft that will be revealed this week in London. Larry Miller has more.
The draft communique says Afghan forces will be committed to taking security primacy in some provinces by early 2011. To achieve that, it says Afghanistan and the international community will agree a specific framework, with a process starting this year. The NATO-led force would move increasingly to a supporting role. The draft also commits to persuading Taliban fighters to disarm, and for the Afghan government to reach out to insurgents. The international community would fund the reintegration program. When he announced the London Afghan conference, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown said Afghan President Karzai will be required to supply 50,000 more troops for training and meet other milestones. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
NATO reports three U.S. service members have been killed in bombings in a tribal area of southern Afghanistan today. The International Military Coalition says the Americans died in separate attacks but gave no further information. A Washington Post poll indicates voters in Massachusetts are not pleased with the direction the government is headed, particularly with the economy and the health care overhaul plan. About 63% of those voting in Tuesday's special Senate election say the country has seriously lost its way. Most of those voters supported Republican Senator-elect Scott Brown. This is NPR. Britain has banned the export of a handheld machine used in Iraq and Afghanistan for detecting bombs because of allegations that it doesn't work. Here's NPR's Rob Gifford from London with more.
The British government said it had halted the export of the ADE-651 machine after a British Broadcasting Corporation investigation challenged the claims of its manufacturer, a company called ATSC. Concerns about the device had been raised in November when the New York Times reported that the US military considered the device to be useless. The newspaper reported that the Iraqi government had purchased more than 1,500 of the devices at a cost of up to $60,000 each. The BBC took the device to a Cambridge University computer lab, which determined that a component intended to detect explosives contained nothing more than the type of anti-theft tag used to prevent stealing in department stores. Meanwhile, British police have arrested ATSC's director, Jim McCormick, on suspicion of fraud by misrepresentation. Rob Gifford, NPR News, London.
A 16-year-old California girl has set out to become the youngest person to sail solo around the world. Abby Sunderland embarked on her voyage in the Pacific from the Del Rey Yacht Club yesterday after being delayed a few days because of California's violent storms. She plans to be at sea in her 40-foot boat for 5 or 6 months. In Saudi Arabia, a judge says a teenage girl will receive 90 lashes and spend 2 years in prison for assaulting a teacher at her school. King Abdullah could issue a pardon for the girl. Amnesty International says the girl is 13 and the alleged assault occurred after she was caught with a forbidden cell phone. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.